Of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our sovereign. And we say, Father, have your way in our lives. Make something extraordinary with our lives. Only you are God. There is not a mountain you cannot move. There's not a thing that you cannot do. If you gave your Son Jesus Christ, what else will you withhold from us? Father, we come. not because of the things you're going to do for us, but primarily, first and foremost, because your love shed abroad in our hearts draws us to you. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. Have your way, fullness of the Godhead, in us and through us now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's so good to have you here this evening for our Bible study. On Friday, we begin our special meetings, the continuation of Let God Arise, but the focus being the Feast of Atonement. And we look forward to what God is going to do in us and through us. I believe we got up to the 17th verse of Proverbs 11. We talked about that some, and we may have touched on verse 18. But let's look at it. Verse 17, it says, "The merciful man doeth good to his own soul." When you and I exercise mercy, the Word of God says we're doing it for our own good. You show you're favoring the person that you're doing a merciful act to, but God says that investment of mercy is going to bring a harvest of mercy to you. The Lord Jesus says to us in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us as we forgive those who've trespassed against us." So to the extent that we forgive others, we get forgiven. To the extent that we extend mercy to other people, to that extent, mercy will be extended to us. So we do ourselves a great disservice when we are hard, harsh, unforgiving, not extending mercy to the other person. Because mercy is not an act of what somebody actually deserves. It is something that you give to somebody even though they don't deserve it. Or else it's not mercy. So God says, do that and you do good to your own soul. He says, however, but he that is cruel, the person who is not forgiven, troubleth his own flesh. You know, the Bible says anger rests in the bosom. And when we are not forgiven, we poison ourselves. A very angry person, let me back up a moment. There was not just a study, but an experience. A woman was breastfeeding her child. And the child died. When they did the autopsy, they found out that the child died because of the breastfeeding. And when they checked, they found out that her blood and everything in her was poison. Why? Because she was very angry. Anger causes your blood to become toxic, a poison for 3 days. It takes 3 days for it to clear up. So can you imagine somebody just staying angry all the time? Their blood is shot. They are killing themselves. A lot of diseases that we have, it's been proven, is because of bitterness. A lot of cancers, destruction of organs, bitterness. So the Word of God says, but he that is cruel is not merciful, troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. And how true that is. You know, you can't even answer your phone without suspecting. We got an email from the government for Mama today. And they said, if you don't trust this document that is from us, copy the URL and put it in your browser to open it. I said, it has come to this. You can't trust anything. There's all kinds of phishing and people calling you and telling, you know. Anytime I'm getting a parcel from somewhere, I place an order, there's always a scammer right behind that, trying to scam. So I don't even respond to it. Oh, this, oh, that. Wicked people work deceitfully. There are so many people that have been scammed out of thousands and thousands of dollars. Sometimes you go on the online and you're shopping and for something and you pay good money for it and you never get it. Scam. It's all over the place. So you don't know what to trust anymore. However, it says, but to him that soweth righteousness. If you sow in righteousness, it says, shall be a sure reward. There is a guaranteed reward for you sowing righteousness, sowing right standing. You are going to get a reward. It's a guarantee. Praise the Lord. So what is the word of God saying? Just do right. Oh, good people finish last, so it seems. But it's not the truth. It's not the truth. You know, so choose to do the right thing. And because you're sowing the right things are going to come your way. People are going to fend for you, fight for you, do all kinds of things for you. Even without you asking. You know, Mama and I go to a gym every day. We did not exercise for the longest time, but, you know, the time came and say, you know what, we need to do this. And so we've been doing that. But one of the stuff we do is aquasize, because it's less strenuous on your joints and stuff like that. Mama loves doing that. Now, the rule is that you have to sign in for it 24 hours before your next class. But during that time, you're in the pool, so you can't sign for it. So what did God do for us? Not because we asked. The workers signed in for us. They're not supposed to do that. But they sign us in. Well, that's favor extended. I can go on and on and on and share how favor has been dispensed to us in different ways at different times. People doing things for us that we didn't even ask for. Why? Because we saw that. We saw it. There is a harvest that comes. So just do the right thing. And God will speak to people. And they will come and they will tell you things that you need to know that you won't have known if somebody hadn't shared it with you. So position yourself all the time to do good. Extend mercy. Cause somebody to stand before you. Don't act in a way that causes people not to draw close to you. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, remember the story of Bartimaeus. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. This is going to be his last time. And he's on a time clock. He has to be there at the fullness of time. And here's Bartimaeus crying out for help. There is Zacchaeus. There is the two blind men before Jericho. And Jesus stopped for every single one of them to extend mercy, because he's into people. He loves people. And if we are going to be like him, we've got to love people. Pay attention to people. Speak into their lives. That does not mean that you are easy with everything. Sometimes you need to be firm with certain people just to help them. That's an extension of mercy. Because if they continue the way they are, they're going to meet more serious issues down the line. And being firm with them now stops them from hauling themselves down the cliff over on the other side. So mercy is an extension of kindness, the goodness, the favor of God. It says, you sow righteousness, you're going to have a sure reward. As righteousness tended to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Righteousness tends to life, leads towards life. He says, but he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death, to his own detriment. So was the wisdom of God here? Pursue after righteousness. Don't go about evil stuff. For too many people attach themselves to evil. They attach themselves to evil. It's like how people always stop to see the accident. Sometimes people just tend towards doing the wrong thing. And evil doesn't necessarily mean that you went and stabbed somebody. Sometimes evil is sitting down and listening to gossip. Sometimes repeating a scandalous thing about somebody. When the word of God says, hey, if your brother is going the wrong way, restore him. Not seeking to restore causes evil to be propagated. And the end result is going to be death. Extend mercy. You never know why people do what they do. Assume nothing. Assume absolutely nothing. Even the word of God says, if a man is hungry and he went and he stole something, this is fine. But if he gets caught, he has to pay 7 times. Just don't get caught. He's hungry. It's cold. And he grabs a coat. It's wrong. You shouldn't do that. However, why did he do it? Is there something you can do to turn this situation around. God calls us to right wrongs. Find a way to bring about a proper ending. Now, that's a little bit hard for us to swallow, because many times we're all about black and white. But God is not about gray. He just tries to turn the black to white. Find a way to turn it around. Make something good come out of it. He causes all things to work together for our good. Praise the Lord. Was Cain deserving of death? Absolutely. Did God pronounce that over him? Absolutely. But when Cain cried out, God extended mercy and says, anybody who tries to bring about what I said, I'm going to go after them. Extend mercy. Don't throw people away. But too many times we throw people away. It's like if we had a white screen here and there is a dot on the screen, on that white, the focus will be on that black dot. It's very little. You forget about all the good. And all you see is that spot. And you hop on that spot, talk about that spot, scandalize and gossip based on that spot. And people are demoralized. What about restoration? What about finding a way to get rid of that black spot without embarrassing everybody? What does God do for Adam? They've blown it, they're naked. He says, who told you you're naked? The guy's covered himself with fig leaves or whatever. And God slays an animal and covers their nakedness. Are we about covering people's nakedness? Or exposing people? What good ultimately does that do? They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. Proud people are an abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. Those that are upright, standing for righteousness. He says God delights in those people. But arrogant people, he goes after, it says, an abomination. Now, watch this statement. They that are of a froward heart are an abomination. But such as are upright in their way. It sounds like the same thing. They are upright in their way. This is a delight. What is the difference? They that are of a froward heart. A froward heart is a distorted heart. It's a crooked heart. That's what that word means. But such as an upright in their way are his delight. How did they get upright? They got upright because they believed the word of God. They are not walking that way based on me, myself, and I, see what I can do. But rather, in the spirit of humility, they surrender themselves to God and walk uprightly based on His word, believing the word of God. He says, God delights in that because that man is operating in faith. He's not living a lie. He's not living a lie. He's not crooked in his thinking. He's not perverse. And believing that his perverse way is okay. This is a person that is a hypocrite who believes that his lifestyle is okay because of grace. It's fine, I'm okay. No, you're not okay. You need to repent. You need to turn to God and cry out to God and say, God, have mercy. Help me. I need help. Rather than embracing the sinful lifestyle that you're practicing and saying, it's okay. It's all under the blood. Yes, it's under the blood if your heart is right. If you're really repentant, if you really want to do the right thing, stumbling is not the issue. That you fail is not the issue. That you fail and believe that your falling is okay, that's the issue. The issue with people with practicing homosexuality is not that they're practicing homosexuality, but that they believe that God made them that way and therefore they don't need to change. That's what the issue is. That you're practicing that lifestyle and okaying it and saying, I was born that way. No, go to God and say, I don't know how this line of iniquity came into my life. I don't know where it started, but God, help me address this situation. My emotions are in the wrong direction. This is sinful. You destroyed a whole city because of this nonsense. God, I need your help. I need your help. Help me. I don't want this lifestyle. I'm attracted to the same sex. God, help me. And God will come and help. He will turn the situation around. Rather than you having a froward heart. The word is ikashi. It's almost like ik. Ickish. That's a froward heart. It's an ickish heart. Ikashi. Step away from that which does not glorify God. And watch what the word of God says here. It says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. You join, come into consensus that this is okay. It says the wicked will not go unpunished. Period. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Why is the seed of the righteous delivered? Because righteousness is still being proclaimed. This is, we love you. You're following the wrong way, but we love you anyway. We trust God to help you, and we're praying for you that you will have victory. That does not mean we throw that person away and say, look at you, you are not straight. So, out of here. No. love people anyway, but keep on telling them the truth. You just keep on telling the truth. You don't compromise the truth and say, well, it must be okay. What is not okay is not okay. So God is not blowing hot and cold. He's just plain telling us how it goes. He says, if you come into agreement and you say it's fine, just like society is doing today. You know, it's amazing to me how people that are alive and were not aborted think it is okay to practice abortion. So it would have been okay to abort you. You want to abort other people. Must be okay then. Actually, if you decide and society decides that a fetus is not a baby, does that make it not? So why, if a woman is pregnant and I go and I kick the woman in the tummy and she loses the baby, why are you suing me that I committed murder? It's a fetus. It's a blob. Are you suing me? That, for what? You see, the hypocrisy of people is just too phenomenal. It's dumb. People who, I believe in a higher power, but I don't believe there is a God. No, the reason you don't believe, but you believe in a higher power. So what is that higher power? Is it a chair? Did the chair create all of this? The reason people don't want to believe in God is because they don't want to be responsible. That's it. If I believe there is a God, then I believe that my actions are going to receive just recompense. So I don't want to believe in God. Same person who doesn't believe in God and says, if there is a God, well, how come all of this evil is happening? Well, it is not the God who created the heavens and the earth that is causing all these problems. The God of this world is still the devil. Even after Jesus died on the cross, Ephesians tells us and Corinthians tells us that the God of this world blinded the eyes of people. The devil is still the God of this world. So if anybody needs to be blamed for anything, it's him. He's causing all kinds of problems. But God has sent us here to represent him, to turn back the things and the activities of the enemy, and to snatch people from the gates of hell and bring them into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. The righteous, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. So believe God for that. Pray and believe God for that. And don't toss people away. Oh, how God did not toss Saul of Tarsus away. The guy was so driven. He's going into another country, Syria, leaving Israel to go to Syria to go persecute and prosecute believers. Drag them, he wants to drag them back to Israel, and God, we laid him on the highway, turns his life around. In so many of the epistles, are written by this man who once upon a time was an agent of the devil, but thinking that he was doing the right thing. He says, as a jewel of gold in his wine snot, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. I believe I used this passage not too long ago when we're doing Bamistwar. Yeah. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snot, does not belong there. So it's a fair woman that doesn't have discretion, has no perception, has no taste. Actually, that's what that word means also, in that discretion there. Tom doesn't have taste, doesn't have perception, has the elevator didn't go all the way up. He says, those two don't go together. If you're a fair lady, be smart, be intelligent, have taste. Don't act crazy. You know, all of these things that the Word of God is giving to us are so important. But hearing the Word of God and not doing it is a major challenge. As a pastor and a preacher of the Word, many times I wonder, having heard the Word of God, are the people of God doing what the Word of God says? You got to invest that word inside of you, so it is automatic. You don't have to think about it. It's not like, okay, should I do this? No, the Spirit of God inside of you brings into your awareness what is right and what is not right. And you just leave it out. It's just every day you're living out the Word of God. You don't need a scripture verse. It's just part of you. It's part of you. And you're just living it out. I don't suggest that you do this. You always have to pay attention while you're driving. But if you're driving, those of you that drive, have you ever been in a situation where you're driving and your mind is somewhere else, but you keep on driving, and after a few miles, you say, when did I get here? It's in there, in your subconscious. You still, while you other things are happening, you're still just going. Well, in the realm of the Spirit, it is the same. You just do the right thing, not because you're thinking about it. It's just in you to do the right thing. When you have to think it, you're struggling. You've not believed what you are supposed to be doing. It's not part of you yet. So you need to meditate on the Word of God, and so that particular mindset, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let it happen. And letting it happen is me opening myself up to what God's word is, what God's will is. Sure, we go through challenges. the Lord Jesus Christ came to the world to die for sinners. But guess what? When he went to that Garden of Gethsemane, even though he knew what the right thing to do is, it was a battle. As much as he loved me and loved you, it was still a battle. Such a battle that three times he asked, is it possible for us to do anything other than this? Man, I hate to, they're going to put nails in my hands right there. They're going to whip me. And I'm going to look like I'm not a human being. Because that's what the word of God says in Isaiah 52. And he's struggling. He says, not my will, your will. I surrender. I surrender. Not everything God is going to ask me to do is going to be easy. Not everything that God is going to ask you to do is going to be easy. If somebody comes and hurts my daughter or my sons or my grandkids, my natural instinct would be crucify them, throw them in jail, shoot them, whatever. That would be my natural. How dare you mess with my kid? How dare you mess with my wife? But go on and say, okay, I forgive. Oh. But would that be the right thing to do? Absolutely. He says, vengeance is mine. Give it to me. I'll be forced to surrender it. So God can be God. That is the calling of God for every one of us. So the desire of the righteous is only good. That's all the righteous wants. Good. It says, however, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. That's all they should expect. Wrath. Whose wrath? The wrath of God. That's all the wicked should expect. Who is this wicked? The wicked is a person who is not correlating and aligning himself with the word of God. The wicked is a person who is not letting God be God in their lives. The wicked is the one who is shutting the windows of heaven over his life because God cannot bless them and making God look bad. That's the wicked. The wicked is always doing something that contradicts the will of God. They're twisted in their thinking. And God is not going to compromise himself. He's going to stay true. Wickedness is basically, bottom line, impeding the will of God. Whether it is stopping it in other people's lives or by personal actions, stopping it in our lives. Whenever we stop the will of God being made manifest, we're practicing wickedness. That's the bottom line. So it's no surprise that the next statement is there is that scatter it and yet increase it. The person who's scattering, giving, being a blessing. He says, and yet, in spite of all the fact that he's given, following the mandate of God, being a blessing, he says, keeps on increasing. And there is that withholded more than is meet. God is not saying, don't withhold. If, for example, he says, give me the tithe, don't withhold it. To withhold any part of it, he says it's going to tend to poverty. It tends to poverty. So if we want to be free from poverty, then we must be people that spread, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men bring into your bosom. That is the word of God. But too many people don't want to acknowledge what the word of God says there. And God says, do that, you're going to experience increase, disperse abroad, the word of God says. An increase will come. Come to you as a family, as an individual, as a church, whatever. Just do the right thing. Sometimes the right thing doesn't sound like the right thing. Sounds like being foolish. But just do the right thing. And God will honor it. In fact, when I need the increase, I invest into the kingdom of God, into people. That must be the pattern, because it's the pattern of God. That's the pattern. God wanted you and I saved. Guess what he did? He sowed his son. He practices the same thing. It's a spiritual law. He wants people who are created in his image and likeness, so he invested in that. Was it easy? No. It was so hard that the father turned his face away when his son was piled on with all of our sins. And Jesus had to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Are you turning your face away from me? We came into this together. What's going on here? Nothing about my salvation and your salvation was easy. Nothing. It wasn't easy for the Lord. It wasn't easy for the Father. It wasn't easy for Mary. Watching your child being crucified. That was not easy. But that was not the worst of it. It was all of the things that happened before. He actually got onto that cross. None of it is easy. But the decision to do the will of God is what brings about the necessary good. And we need to pursue that good, tough as it might be. We serve a Lord who understands. He's very well aware of the challenges we face as humans, as people. and it comes alongside and it works with us. People may say, like they did with Bartimaeus, shut up. In fact, the Greek word there is, you shut up or we're going to shut you up. And in the face of that attack, the man did what he needed to do. He cried out even louder, I'm not going to shut up. The same thing we need to do in living uprightly before the Lord. I am going to live uprightly before Him. I fell, but I'm getting back up. The righteous will fall 7 times and get up again and again and again and again. Can you imagine a little child falling and deciding, oh, that hurts, I'm not doing that again? Guess what? That child is never going to work. True or not? Is that true? You guys are looking at me like I said something wrong. So let me say it again. A child that's trying to walk and falls flat on his face and decides, that hurt too much, I'm not going to do that again. Are they going to stand up and walk next time? No. They make a decision. Somebody's walking, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the same thing. And they may fall, they get back up. And pretty soon they are walking. They are running. That's what you do. Don't give up because of something that happened. Connect. Scatter. Increase. Withhold more than necessary. Be poor. And then it says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. In other words, will be prosperous. The liberal soul, person who's given. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You water others, try to help others make it, somebody's going to help you too. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. You have the capacity to do something and you withhold it, so people are going to curse you. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it, that provides it. So blessings will be upon that one's head. Well, let us stop there today. We'll pick that up some other time. The Lord you and I serve loves us. And he's teaching us from his word how we can make it in life. These are principles that we need to let take root in our hearts and transform us. That is God's will for us.
God is very good to us. We thank you, Father God, that you are full of mercy. We thank you that you never reject us. We thank you that you teach us each and every moment of the day. We thank you that your mercies are forever. We thank you especially because you died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. You took upon yourself everything that we should not be suffering. You took it from us. You suffered for us. And you teach us, Father God, each every step that we do, something that we couldn't conquer yesterday, you help us to conquer today. even though we fall, all have come short of the glory of God. Sometimes we fall, but we get back up. And we get stronger and stronger and stronger. We thank you for your love, your mercies, and your peace, Father God, that is given to each and every one of us, so that we can flow in you, and that we can grow in you, we can learn in you, line upon line, precept upon precept, like your word says. We just give you the glory, Father God, for who you are. You're just so worthy of being praised. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Did you learn something tonight? I'm glad everybody did. Because I know I've heard it before, but it's always nice to hear something a second time, because you know what you missed the last time. It's funny how our minds work sometimes. A portion of our mind, you hear something, but you get drawn to that and you're focused on that point, and you miss the next point that they get talking about. But you listen to it a second time, now you can focus and see, put the two, that the one that you missed and the one that you heard, and you get more out of it. That's what's nice about hearing it twice. And even a third time, the Word of God is like that. You can read it, for myself anyways, I can read the same scripture 50 times, and I always get something new out of it. Because the scripture is so deep, there's different dimensions. As you mature, you will find that the scripture that you read yesterday means more today than yesterday. Because you're grasping something, little nuggets out of that piece that you read. Scripture's like that. That's the Word of God. When you go to heaven, you're going to be hearing a lot of scripture. Whatever scripture you're reading now, you're going to get that in the heavens. But Jesus will be continuing to teach and teach and teach. It's never, never ending, because there's dimensions that we will be getting into. Even right now, there's dimensions that each and every one are in. A dimension of understanding. And for myself, it's an amazing thing, because I see myself when I was 11 years old when I first started reading the scripture. And yeah, there were stories and different things I was learning. It's good as a child. You think like a child when you're a child. But you grow up, now you're a young adult, and you think like a young adult. And it's the same with understanding scripture. You understand like a young adult. But later on, you understand. If you continue in the Word, you will understand, because the picture gets bigger. The puzzle, it's like a huge puzzle. And you get to put pieces together. And sometimes you think a piece fits, but you know, there's something that's not quite right about this. So you kind of like try another piece, and, oh, this one fits better. Scripture's like that too. So never give up on putting scripture, understanding scripture in your thoughts. Because it's going to continue to, God's the one who's teaching you. And just because that piece did not quite fit doesn't mean it's not part of the picture. It's still part of the picture, but it just has to be tweaked. It might be close to the same color. It might be the next piece over. so you can still tie everything together. The scripture's like that. If something doesn't seem to fit in the Word of God, when you're in your understanding, it means you need a little bit more. Don't throw it away. You need a little bit more understanding up here. And very often I hear stuff, even from our pastor. He brings some very deep understandings. And there was a wise man once upon a time, years ago. He says, if you don't understand something, if something just doesn't seem to be right, put it on the shelf. Keep it in your mind, shelf in your mind. Your mind's like a filing cabinet. So file it there, and when at one point or another, it's going to come back. And then when it comes back, you'll see where it fits. Or if it doesn't fit, keep it on the shelf until you see it fit, or maybe it never will fit because it's wrong. So that's how the scripture is. We need to walk the walk that Jesus called us to walk in. And from that, each one of us are at a different level in our maturity as a Christian. And if you're growing, you don't go backwards, okay? If you're going backwards, you're backsliding. And we don't want to go there. Because when you backslide, that's being out of the will of God. A Christian always walks forward. Always steps the next step, the next step. Oh, this one's a little harder. Let's do it. But keep on thriving. Keep on learning. Keep on receiving from God. He's the one who teaches each and every one of us. There's none of us that will ever reach the height that God is. Don't worry about different things in your life. God has things under control. And if you're willing to change, God will help you to change. It might take time. It might. I'll use one example. When I had backslid when I was younger. But when I came back to the Lord, I was smoking. And I know God took it away from me when I came back to the Lord. But there was something about, I like to smoke. I just like candy, you know. It's a habit. I just like enjoyed it. And one day, it's kind of like I knew I wanted to quit, but I enjoyed it. And I told God, you always have to be honest with God. That's the first thing. I told God, I enjoy smoking. If you don't want me to smoke, take that enjoyment away. Or help me to quit one way or another. And the first instruction, it just fell in my heart to cut my cigarettes in half. And I was smoking about a pack and a half per day at that time. So I cut my cigarettes in half. That was about, give or take, 15 cigarettes at this point. And I divided them in during the day. Certain times of the day, you just enjoy a cigarette. After a meal, when you wake up, before you go to bed, different times like that. Coffee break. But after a little while, God showed me, smoke only 7 cigarettes in one day. Okay? So I started smoking 7 cigarettes in one day. And I divided it when I woke up. Coffee break, lunch, coffee break, supper, bedtime. It's kind of like 7 cigarettes during the whole day. And I stuck to that. And then he showed me, go into lighter cigarettes. So it was a progressive thing. Lighter cigarettes, less nicotine, less tar, less, it's kind of like And he brought me to what they called Viscount Lights. And they were tasting as if they were normal cigarettes, strong cigarettes. But meantime, I was being weaned away from it. And that's how God's got me to stop smoking. Now, he'll use different methods for whoever, but be honest with God, first of all. But be obedient to the steps. You might fall every now and then, but come back and be obedient to those steps. And God will be walking with you and showing you the next step as you need. And I've quit smoking for the longest time. There's one day I went on a trip. I left the cigarettes behind me. I came back 3 or 4 days later. Cigarettes were still there, but I hadn't had one cigarette during 4 days. It bothered me a little bit because of the habit, you know, up and down, elbow habit. But basically the habit left me. And after a short while, I hated the smell of smoke. And to this day, I don't like it. It's going to keep it away from me. God answered my desire. And I thank God that He worked with me. He can work with you too. Whatever issues that we go through, God will help you to go through them. So I just thank God for His mercy and for His guidance. And we can all be thankful for that. Yeah, we can trust in God for our desires to go away. Right now, if you haven't given your tithe offering or whatever God has asked you to do, you can do that now. And the Lord will bless you, speak to your offering, because your offering is important to God, and give it a duty to do. Give your offering something to go do. Sometimes we write missions, sometimes we write, those are some of the things that we ask our offerings to do. Sometimes it's a tithe. It's important to tithe. That's 10% of your income. It's important to tithe because God looks at your tithe. He sees your heart through that you're willing to give. Greed, He monitors greed and the way you think very often through your tithe. And your tithe is not always 10%. Your tithe could be 20%, 3%. You could give 2.5 tithe. You could give whatever God tells you to give. It's not a, it's basically 10% is a minimum. Because everything belongs to God. We got to realize that. And if everything belongs to God, if He asks you for all of it, so be it. If you're dedicated to God, you've given yourself to God, that's where it should be. But God's given us duties. Every dollar that we get, there's a duty for that dollar. And yes, we do need to pay bills, and we do need to, but there's that one portion that goes straight to God. That's not even a question. Shouldn't be a question. It's important. And God honors those who give. If you want to receive from God, more from God, give, and God will give you back. Give. He will, and when He gives big. Everything that God does is big. If you trust God, He can do big. So it's not about receiving as well. It's more about being obedient. And God sees a sees your heart through that. I want to thank everybody for coming tonight, everybody who's online. I want to thank everybody who's listened or will be listening. I hope that you receive from it the depth that God wants you to receive. And is there anybody on? There's nobody up there? Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here, and we shall see you on Friday.